Hello, my name is Johan Hedberg and I work as a consultant for Logica in Sweden. Today I'm going to show you how you can automate your build and deploy process using BizTalk Server 2009 Beta 1, Visual Studio 2008 and Team Foundation Server 2008. I'm also going to show you some of the new features enabling continuous integration, such as unit tests. Here we are in Visual Studio 2008 team system. As you can see, I've got my time reporting solution here, consisting of 5 BizTalk projects. Now, I can build a solution manually by selecting Build Solution. And as you can see, it builds just fine. Now, if I want to automate this, I can go over to Team Foundation Server and the Team Explorer. I can select Builds and select to create a new build definition. Now, I'll name this build definition time reporting. And I'll give this a description of this builds the time reporting solution. Now I must then go over to the project file and select to create a new TFS build project file. I'll select the time reporting solution. I'll select the release configuration, and at this point I'll select not to run any unit tests on this. I then select the test build agent as my default and specify that my default drop zone will be the TFS RTM 08 drops folder, and I then create the time reporting build definition. Now I can select the time reporting build definition and say queue build. I'll not change any properties at this time, I'll just select to queue the build. This starts the build and I can see that it's working. I can double click it to get more information on the process. And there it succeeded. The solution takes about 30 seconds or so to build. Now at this point, I've automated the build process for a BizTalk Server project. Now, this is made possible in BizTalk Server 2009 and Visual Studio 2008 by the BizTalk project structure now being a MS Build script. This no longer requires Visual Studio to build the project. At this point, I've done nothing but build the project. Now let's go ahead and add a unit test to this solution. We do this by selecting the Solution Explorer, selecting the Time Reporting solution, and selecting to add an existing project. I've pre-built a project for this purpose called the Time Report.test project. Let's open that up and add it to the solution. The Time Report.test solution contains one class, the UnitTest1.cs. Let's open that up and see how it looks like. The UnitTest1 class has the test class attribute and the test schema method has the test method attribute. There are three things to note in this method. One is the fact that we're declaring a type of testable schema base, which we'll then use to test the schema. The testable schema base class has one method called validateInstance. This is the method that does the schema validation. We then make sure that the result we've gotten back is a boolean with the value true. If we try to compile this project, at this point, we will get an exception. The reason for this is that we must go to our properties on our timereport.schemas project and make sure that we enable unit testing. By saving the properties, going to the Hogia timereport.test project again and building it, it now succeeds, and we can now go back to the unitest1.cs file and select to run the test, and can see that it passed. Now, at this point, we'd like to include this test in our build. To do that, let's go ahead and go back to Team Explorer. We need to right-click our time reporting build definition, select View Configuration folder, and go to the tfsbuild.prod file. We need to check this file out and open it to edit. Now in this file we need to do two things. First, we need to find the run test element. This element needs to be set to true. Second, we need to go to the end of the file and add some code. I have this code placed in a container so that I can drag and drop it. Now let's save the file, close it, and be sure to check it in. Let's also take this moment in time to check all the files in. Because remember, Team Foundation Server builds from the checked in code. Therefore, it's important that you remember to check in code. If you don't, errors could easily happen. Now let's go back to Team Explorer, select our time reporting solution, and select new build. The build takes a moment to complete, but eventually finish it, having run some tests. We can check the results of the test, and can see that we've run one test, and it passed. So what did we do? Well, there's nothing different here that separates this as a BizTalk project from any other C# project. We did the default MS build steps, the same as any. Most notably, we compiled the source code and executed tests against the compiled assemblies. Now, from a BizTalk perspective, for this to be a full-blown build and deploy process, there are a couple of steps missing. The deploy steps. But for you to be able to deploy a BizTalk solution, you must first undeploy what's currently deployed. So, the first step we'd like to add here is undeploy bindings. The second step is to deploy new assemblies. And the third step is to import new bindings. Now, we're basing this solution on the concept of the binding files. The binding files are what tells us what to undeploy and eventually what to deploy. Let's see how it works. Back in Visual Studio, what we want to do is that we want to alter our TFS build project to do the undeploy and redeploy of our assemblies. To do that, let's open the TFS project file. And the same way that you model any class, where you don't want to put all code in one class, instead you want to have reusable modules. In the same way, you want to and can have reusable modules in your TFS build project. So I have a snippet here to import an additional import statement. And what I'm importing here is the logical BizTalk custom tasks target. And this is all the change I'm going to do to the vanilla TFS build project file to be able to do undeploy, deploy, and import bindings. So I'll save this file, close it, and check it into version control. Now I want to go up to time reporting and I want to tell it to queue a new build. So let's go ahead and queue new build. So the build is starting. And now it's going through the steps of actually deploying and undeploying the project. You can see here how it has undeployed the BizTalk artifacts from bindings, how it has begun deploying the assemblies, and how it's now importing the binding files. It's running the test and it's now succeeded and completed. So this should mean that we have gotten something deployed into BizTalk. So if we check the Hoagie application and check the resources, we should now have our resources in here. And there we go, when it's updated, our resources are installed. Now, how does this work? Well, if we take a step back and again look at the TFS build project file, we did this import here. And what these imports and these targets file allow you to do are to define your own overrides of specific steps in the build process. So in our logical BizTalk custom task targets file, we've defined some property groups to get some values into this. Here are the tasks used. It's deploy assemblies, import bindings, and undeploy bindings. The assembly these are installed to are the logical custom tasks assembly. The logical custom tasks assembly is defined here. Our targets and their parameters are defined down here. Our undeploy, our deploy, and our import bindings targets. What makes them trigger are the fact that we're overriding the MS build after compile target. And we're saying that in this target, we want to trigger the import bindings, the deploy assemblies, and the undeploy assemblies targets. Now, if we take a look, for example, at the undeploy target, what this is a class that inherits from the team build task that has a couple of parameters on it. These are parameters that needs to be set in the class before its execute method is called. Let's see how that looks. Here we have the logical bistock build tasks project. Now in this project, we have six targets. Three of these are called from our TFS project file. It's the deploy assemblies, the import bindings, and the undeploy bindings. The other files here are supporting files for our targets. If we open and look at, for example, the deploy assemblies file, we can see that it has an execute internal method. The execute internal method are the method that we're overriding to do the work that we want to do. What this method does in this implementation is iterate over the output path together with the information in the binding file to make sure that we have the correct assemblies. We then use an internal method, the deploy method, to deploy this assemblies to BizTalk. If we follow the call chain for this, you can see that we're still in deploy assemblies, and what we're doing here is we're setting up a deploy assembly task. And our deploy assembly task is the one we have here. And this as well is a team build task. It has an execute internal method. And this execute internal method calls the deploy method. The deploy method here uses something that you can see is from the Microsoft BizTalk application deployment group, as well as the application deployment application and the application deployment resource. Now, you can do this in multiple ways. The most supported way, one could argue, would be to open or use the process class and call the BTS task command line utility. However, we've found this to be a significantly slower and more error-prone process. Therefore, we're using these BizTalk, one can argue, internal classes from the Microsoft BizTalk application deployment namespace. They do the job extremely well. So we set the necessary properties on these classes, and eventually, after having added the resource, we can dispose of the object. If you're interested in knowing how this works, you should take a look at the classes of the Microsoft BizTalk application deployment namespace. We'll also be posting this code to make it generally available. So to look at what we just said, this solution uses the binding files. The binding files are essential because the binding files holds the information as to which files, ports, and artifacts to undeploy from BizTalk, as well as what artifacts to eventually deploy, and what bindings to import, of course. This is made possible by three targets called in the after compile target. These targets in themselves then use a couple of helper deploy tasks, undeploy assembly and deploy assembly. Although these last two aren't directly called from the MS build script, they're called internally and are very important for this solution to work. As mentioned as well, we're not using the process class and we're not using BTS task. We're using the internal application deployment classes. This is just one example of how BizTalk Server 2009 and Team Build in Team Foundation Server 2008 can help you realize an automated build and deployment solution. I'm Johan Hedberg, a consultant for Logica in Sweden.